Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Everybody awake this morning? Well, that's wonderful. If you don't know me, I'm Brad. I'm one of the guys here. And as Tony takes a much-needed break and Chris lies in bed ill, we will lift him up in prayer here in a moment. And so this morning, I'm just really blessed to be with you and excited for the morning. I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your amazing love. We pray your blessings of rest and peace over our pastor. We pray your blessings of healing over Chris. We ask, Lord God, that for each heart in here today that is hurting, that you bring peace and grace, that you bring a remembrance of your love and your power. That, Lord Jesus, you are mighty among us. We are thankful for you. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides. My prayer this morning is, Lord, that my teaching will not be with wise and persuasive words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power in our midst. May you come alive in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I prayed about what to spend our time with this morning, the Lord God only gave me one answer. And so that made it pretty simple for me in terms of that answer. And as I prayed and asked about, God, what would you have me teach on this morning? He consistently said, show them the Holy Spirit, a third person of the Trinity that we often forget that is operating in our hearts and in our lives. Maybe that's not the case for you, but it is the case for me. But he said, show them the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, over the last several weeks, God has been pounding on my heart about, I need to know the Holy Spirit more personally. I need to understand who he is and his person and his power and his work and his glory. Because, and rightly so often we attribute everything to Jesus or the Father, but the Trinity is co-eternal and co-equal and operating in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so God said to me, you don't know him well enough. You don't know me well enough. He told me to get to know the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so as this all came together, it doesn't surprise me that he said, show them the Holy Spirit. And what he's calling us to is not just an understanding of the office of the Holy Spirit, not just an understanding of how he redeems us through the blood of Christ, but the actual experiential knowledge of walking with him. And what we talk so much about here of epinosis, full knowledge, complete knowledge, understanding him, walking with him, having a relationship with him, just as we do one another and we do with our Lord and our Father. And getting to know his person, how he operates in his work, how he shows us his love, and how he leads us in his power. And that is what God was rapping on my heart over the past several weeks. And as I thought about we have been learning over the past several weeks, wonderful, beautiful messages. We began the year in, or ended the year, as it were, in talking about the warp and woof of life, the ebbs and flows of life. I think Chris called it the seasons and rhythms of life. And there's lots of those. We've been talking through Scripture about finding rest and peace, talking about Martha and Mary and all that was going on there, and the confusion in Mary's or Martha's heart that the Lord was talking to her about. So we've been learning about finding rest and peace amid the anxieties of life, the real things that we must do, the real things that we call life, but that promote anxiety within us. And there's no one in this room, I'm pretty sure, that can say we don't have any anxiety. We do. That's real. You've been talking about resting in the love of God, which is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And we as humans find it fleeting, don't we? We find it fleeting. And as I thought about all of this in my heart, I said, I'm not sure I know how to do this. I'm not sure. That all sounds really good, but I'm not sure I know how to do it. Which really drove me to my knees. And then I began to ask questions. Well, if I don't know how to do it, I better find out what's happening here. So I began to ask, what or who is our assurance? Who will help us with this? Who will comfort us in the midst of those anxieties? What are the means by which we attain this rest? What are the means by which we actually walk with Jesus? Because that's what he calls us to do, right? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Where do I find my ability to rest? Every day is crazy. Every relationship has its issues. Every moment, I can fall out of rest quickly. And so that's ringing in my mind. How do I overcome the constant pressure of this world? Because the pressure does not let up. It comes at us 60 seconds a minute. How do we find true rest in the midst of that? In the midst of the ebbs and flows of life, the seasons, the tragedies, the difficulties, the disappointments. Where do we find that power? So I was led to Romans 8. All of you are familiar with it. It is the most glorious passage in Scripture, that chapter. It is one of the most beautiful assurances of who we are in Christ and how it is that he gives us rest. If you haven't read it in a while, I would ask you to pore over it for the next couple of weeks. Find rest. The danger is, as Tony often talks about, is this is a really familiar chapter to many of us. And so we can go through this chapter and we can say, yeah, I know what that means. Yeah, I know what that means. Okay, yeah, I get that. But the reality is we can blow right past the truths of Scripture that God has laid on a gold platter for us to own, to take into our lives, to share with others, and to find rest. This passage, actually this chapter, God has breathed out the very lifeline to the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So let's learn more about the one that the resurrected Christ has sent into our hearts. If we are believers in Christ today, he has sent us a comforter. He has sent us the one who leads us in this peace and in this rest. So turn your Bibles to Romans 8, and we're only going to deal with the first 11 verses. I'm going to pray. Father God in heaven, your word is living and active. We often say that, we often understand that scripture, but Lord, we're asking it to be living and active today by the Spirit's power in our midst, in this place. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, in a way that we haven't seen you yet. Grant us peace and strength for the day and for the week and for the every single step that we take. We love you, Jesus. We invite you here among us. And it's in your name we pray and ask it. Amen. So I'm going to take these verses 1 through 11 in two lifts, okay, so that we can track together. I'm going to take the first six verses, and then I'm going to take the last, whatever that is, five verses. And if you're going to take notes, I've got two headings. The first heading is freedom in Christ. The second heading, if I can read my own writing, is renew your mind. Okay? Just jot those down, because what's amazing in this passage is that it's so clear, but oftentimes when we read it, we blow right past the truth of it. So Romans 8, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from the ESV, and you're reading from the NIV, so it will be slightly different. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So I want to highlight several statements here that are affirmative statements that God breathed out for us. There is no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus our Lord. None. If you're hearing condemnation, it ain't from God. Okay? That's a big truth that we need to hold on to, because it gives us a clue into what's going on. It is not of God to be condemned. Okay? He's given us life. Secondly, the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ. Set you free from Christ, from the tyranny of sin and Satan. And thirdly, sin itself is condemned in us by the power of the Spirit and the blood of Christ. If we are in Christ today, these are our truths. These are the things that we must hold on to. We must know that there isn't any condemnation. We must know that the Spirit of life has set us free to live for him. And we must know that sin itself that dwells within us, and we all know we have it, is condemned in Christ. That sin cannot have us. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 reminds us, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the blessing and the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. As Paul says, speaking of the work of the Spirit versus the work of the law, I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians. If you want to keep your finger in Romans 8 and go to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 to 18, this kind of sheds a light on what's really happening here. So 2 Corinthians 3, 12 to 18. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, the law that is. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Powerful words. Now, if we have a relationship with God through Christ, we enjoy freedom. We know that we are free. We don't always feel free, but we know intellectually we are free. What I want us to see this morning is that experiencing the power of God enables us to experience that freedom. But we also see in the passage we read in Romans 8 that there is discussion about how we use that freedom. And it's important. What we set our minds upon. Notice that a mind set on a particular purpose or path, that's a deliberate act. Because we have been given freedom, right? Before we knew Christ, we didn't have that freedom, but now we do if we are in Christ. So our choice to set our mind on a particular purpose or path is a deliberate choice. Sort of like piloting a sailboat in the wind. So you look out on the bay and there's boats going all kinds of ways, but it's a prevailing wind out of the west. Well, how are they all going a different way? If it's the wind and the waves that drive us, no, it's the set of the sail, right? You set the sail to go where you want to go, just like we set our minds on the things of Christ, and we go in the direction of Christ. What we set our minds on matters. This Christian life is not a numb life. This Christian life is not a let go and let God life. This Christian life is a walk with Jesus Christ and set your mind on the things of Christ. What we set our minds on matters. Romans 8, 6, the last passage we read. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. There it is. That's what we're seeking, right? Here is our assurance. Right here in these passages, here is our way to peace. Here is where we find rest for our weary and broken and burdened souls. Here is where we find rest in God's love through the Spirit of God who dwells in us, through the love of God manifest in His Son who sent us that Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within us, and He has given us the power to walk with Him. That's a beautiful thing. Ever feel like you don't have enough strength to lift up one more foot? You can't walk one more inch? There is one who knows how to pick that foot up. There is one who will give us the power to pick that foot up and to march forward. But in order for us to fully grasp what's being said here, we must unearth the meaning in the original text. We must unearth it because it is such a robust meaning in these two words, life and peace, that I think sometimes when we hear life, we mean we're breathing. And sometimes when we think about peace, it's just not, you know, the walls aren't falling in on us. But listen to how these words are rendered in the original language for life. Life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God and blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. But after the resurrection, to be consummated by a new accession, among them a more perfect body, and one to last forever. And secondly, that's the life he's talking about here. That's the life he's talking about here. I don't feel like that life a lot of times. I'm going to be honest with you. But he says that when we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, that's the kind of life we have. That's the kind of life we can attain to. Secondly, peace. We talk about peace that surpasses all understanding in Philippians, and that's wonderful. Here is the rendering of this Greek word. It's Greek word is peculiar to Christianity. It is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. We find our peace in the Holy Spirit of God, bringing the truths of God to bear in our hearts and minds, and enabling us, as we walk with his power, to walk with Christ. It's a wonderful thing, this life in peace. So it turns out the way to life in peace is to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, well, yeah, duh, right? But I find it hard sometimes to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. It isn't that I don't hear him. I think you would agree with me. It isn't that we don't hear what he's saying to us. He's directing our minds to him. And he promises us a life of peace in the midst of turmoil when we listen. Sounds simple. Ain't so simple. Ain't so simple. Just yield. If you're like me, the struggle isn't in hearing the Holy Spirit's pokings and proddings. It isn't that I don't hear him. It's kind of like when my kids are yelling and I'm not listening, right? And who hasn't done that? Mom, Dad. But the fact of the matter is, I do hear him. And this struggle is a real struggle. This isn't something that we just laugh about. This is real because it happens in the moments that we walk with him. It happens in the moments of the day when we're going through the stuff and he is speaking to us. The struggle is real. And that's going to bring us to our second point, entitled Renew Your Mind. So let's go to the second half of the Romans 8 passage where you have your finger. So we're going to go from 7 to 11. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. We see here that the mind set on the flesh is actually hostile to God. With the mind set on the flesh, we cannot please God. I know that throughout my day, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm thinking fleshly thoughts quite often, actually. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you are too. Because we walk in a world that comes at us 60 seconds a minute. We walk in a world that does not promote peace and grace, serenity. No. He's speaking here when he says he will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He is speaking of here of a different kind of life than we're thinking about. And when he's speaking here about the mindset on the flesh, he's speaking of a mind that is continually seeking after the things of the world, continually thirsting and desiring the things of the world. That's what he's speaking of when he talks about a mind set on the flesh. But he says a mind set on the Spirit, he will give life to your mortal bodies. The good news is that in Christ we have the power of the Spirit dwelling inside us. Isn't something we have to run and get. It isn't a book we have to go and read. It is the power and the Spirit of God dwelling in us that he promised to us and that he gave us the moment We placed our faith in Jesus Christ. This is the Spirit that is enabling and empowering us to set our minds on the Spirit and not on the flesh. So the very Spirit of God is empowering us to set our minds on Him. And in so doing, we get to walk with Jesus in the light of righteousness. He gives us the power not to set it on the flesh. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you don't need to turn there unless you want. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, as God's children, we are called to live a life set apart to God. That's what our call is. Our true worship of God is the tone and tenor of our lives as we walk with Him. That's true worship. Walking it out every day in the power of the Spirit, bringing glory to God because we have walked with Him and we have talked with Him. Requires humility. Requires a willingness to listen to the Spirit of God and actually yield. And it requires us to constantly renew our minds because this is an upside down world. Is it not? Absolutely is, isn't it? The things that we think ought to be are not. And the things that we think ought not to be absolutely are. Which is really confounding. When we become like the world, when we start to set our minds on the world, we become like the world, and we become distracted from the life and the peace that we just spoke about. We become distracted from the absolute gift of abundant life that Jesus died to give us. See how important it is to set the sails. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Now, this is a really amazing last verse. But we have the mind of Christ. That's what he says. God says we have the mind of Christ. God calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, constantly setting our sails in the winds and waves that are blowing every second of the day. He's calling us to reorient to the direction of the Holy Spirit, becoming akin to that small, still voice inside of us amid the storm to direct our paths. No matter what direction of the winds of the world are blowing, seeking the mind of Christ through the Spirit and the Word, we receive His power to go in the right direction. When we yield to Him. And He does this to bring us abundant life. He doesn't do this to wield His power over us. He's saying, I love you. I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. And I want you to go where you will have abundant life. The Spirit of God knows you see, resting in God's love is found right there. And that moment of seeking the Spirit, hearing the Spirit, and walking with Him. That's where we find God's love, God's rest, God's peace. Now, Paul says in verse 10 of this passage, he says, if Christ is in you, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The first time I read that, in fact, the first three times I read that, I didn't catch what he was saying. I'll read it again. If Christ is in you, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. That means righteousness is the first cause. Rendered literally, the Spirit is alive because we've yielded. The Spirit is alive because we've sought after integrity. The Spirit is alive and moving because we sought the virtue and purity of life, the uprightness that he leads us to, the correctness of action and thought. The Spirit is alive when we yield. Brings a whole new idea to yielding, doesn't it? When we yield, we find the power. We must renew our minds through the washing of the Word, in the power of the Spirit, because a wonderful promise of God is found in the last verse of our passage. If the Spirit of Him, this is verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. That's what he's saying. He will give life to you. In this passage, the context here of the words used is to make alive by spiritual power, to arouse and invigorate, to restore to life. We talked earlier about feeling dead, feeling not able to take the next step. And he says, I will give you life that will reanimate you, that will restore you to the path, to the life. God promises to breathe new life into us as we walk. How crazy is that? We don't walk under our own power. We walk in the power of God. This brings me in mind to a passage in the Old Testament from Ezekiel. And where Ezekiel is told to prophesy about the people of Israel or the church. This is Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. And I would invite you to turn there because it is an amazing and beautiful picture of what we are talking about today. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. God says to Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, only you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus the Lord God to these bones says, behold, I will cause breath, ruach, breath, life to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. Then Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's the power living within us. The power of God over the church is the Holy Spirit of God who breathes life into us. Friends, can you imagine what God would do in the lives of the church if we drank the Spirit in such a way to expect, that's what I said, expect the power of God to stir us to life and peace? Can you imagine what God would do with us and in us? Paul continues in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified in him. Band, get in place. This world indeed brings suffering. There is no question about that. And Jesus told us it would. He said that we will have trouble in this world. This world breeds confusion, distractions, dissensions, temptations, and assaults, direct assaults on us. But I want to remind us this morning that God has promised us his power to walk in this world, his power to stand firm in the midst of the wind and the waves and the stuff of life. Our part, friends, is to walk. Our part is to walk knowing that he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do and will do. And our part is to set our minds in the things of the Spirit and drink him in. Drink in the power. Drink in the glory of God surging within you, because he is faithful. He will do what he's promised us. For he left us these words, and we'll close with these. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said, much like the church says, and I say, and you say, but Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. What peace is that? Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. My friends, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God and the power of God who meets us in the moments of life. When we are in the thick of it, He is granting us power to take the next step. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are so in awe of your amazing love, the amazing peace that you give us, the amazing power that you've placed in us. And so, Lord God, as we are here this morning lifting our hearts to you, we ask, Lord God, open our hearts that we may receive it. Open our hearts that we may feel your power surging within us and that we may find rest and peace in the ebbs and flows of our lives. And that ultimately, Lord, we will bring you honor in this world as someday when we see you, we will be like you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for being among us this morning. I pray over every heart in this room, Lord God, the heaviness that is in each one, that you would take it, that you would show them the power of the Holy Spirit that conquers it all, and that you enable us to walk with you in the cool of the day. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit. May we get to know him. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. You are so faithful to us. We are so very thankful that you have chosen to take up residence in our souls. We are so thankful that you lead us and guide us and empower us. And Lord God, in every struggle of our life, whether it be illness, addiction, difficulty in relationships, whatever it is, Lord, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us each and every step as we sing praise, glory, and honor to you with a life well lived in you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.